1 Timothy chapter 1, and our reading takes us to verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering to a pattern, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. May God bless to us this reading from his sacred word. Now, at this juncture of the year, this being the last Sunday of this year, this is a time for reflection. As a matter of fact, you will find that on television and radio, they're looking back over this last year and giving to as many reruns of things that have happened during this last year. Well, that's something that we can do with profit in our own lives as we look back and recount and perhaps try to recapture some of the blessings that God has given to us in this last year. I had a blessing just recently, or I should say we had a blessing, Audrey and I, when our daughter arrived in unexpectedly from the United States of America, and that was a big blessing to us. But apart from that, I wonder if in your own mind you could sort of look back and see some highlights of the year that brought great blessing to you, and you're just looking back full of gratitude this evening. I mention that because during this last year, the Lord blessed us in so many ways, but I like just to highlight two of them. I was in Brazil during the month of September. I was there at the invitation of a Baptist mission to visit the northern part of Brazil on the borders of Venezuela, an area that I'd never been to before. It was at the invitation of this mission because the mission, it is known as the Paul of Tarsus Baptist Mission. They have 30 missionaries working all over the Amazon area of Brazil and now working into the southern parts of Venezuela. When Chavez, the president of Venezuela, came to power, he expelled a lot of Americans, including just about all of the American missionaries. New tribes in Venezuela were closed down. However, these Baptists in the north part of Brazil, they seized the opportunity, and while Americans were not welcome in Venezuela, they knew that Brazilians were very welcome. And so they bought the land from new tribes, and in that piece of land they've set up a Bible school, and they're using that Bible school as a center to reach out to the southern part of Venezuela with the gospel, and God is blessing them in a great way. However, the blessing that I had that week was incidental to that. I was to preach at a different Baptist church every night in the city of Boa Vista. On the first night, I was preaching at a church known as the Igreja Batista da Graça, that is, Grace Baptist Church. At the end of the meeting, a man came to me, and I'd known this man for 50 years. And as we recounted, he said to me, "Victor, I remember you when I was a boy 50 years ago in Canutama." I remembered his family well. But the question he asked me next was to be the blessing. He said, "What about Paul and Rita Maynard?" Paul and Rita Maynard had been a couple working with our mission. They went out to Brazil around 1970 and could only stay there for 4 years. They had to come home because of the illness of their little boy. However, he said to me, "What about Paul and Rita?" "Oh," I said, "Paul. Paul is a deacon in a Baptist church, Monkstown Baptist Church. But I did Rita's funeral about 7 years ago. Rita was very ill for many years, and I conducted her funeral, and she is now with the Lord." "Oh," he said, "I'll never forget them because They led me to faith in Christ when I was only a little boy in Kanotama. I said, Paul will be so glad to hear that when I get home. About 20 minutes later, again after the meeting, I got speaking to another man, and he came to me and he said, I remember you in Kanotama 50 years ago. He said, I had malaria and you treated me. You took blood off my finger and gave me Comaking, and obviously I got better. But he said, the biggest blessing for me in Kanotama is a couple known as Paul and Rita Maynard. Because when I was a little boy, Paul led me to faith in Christ. I couldn't believe it. Here within 20 minutes, we were going back 50 years, and here were two missionaries now serving God with this Baptist mission, and Paul and Rita had led them to Christ. That was fantastic. The next night, the president of the mission, a man by the name of Hanulfo, he came to me and he said, I don't remember you in Kanotama, but the biggest blessing in my life was in Kanotama when Donna Rita led me to faith in Christ. I became a Christian when I was only a little boy of 8 in Kanotama, and Rita is my spiritual mother. What about Rita? Oh, I said, Rita went to be with the Lord 6 or 7 years ago. And well, he said, when I get to heaven, I'll be so glad to tell her what God has done in my life. That was 3 of them. The next day, I was speaking at another meeting in a place called the Iglesia Bautista de Esperanza. That is Hope Baptist Church. Again, this little missionary came to me. His name is Alberto, and Alberto works in a place called Nova Linda, works among Indians. He said to me, I remember Kanotama because my aunt used to work at your house. Her name was Donna Eloya. He said, you know, when I went to live with my aunt, I went to the meetings, and Senior Paul led me to faith in Christ. You know, I could have wept. I could have wept with joy because here was a couple who did those 4 years in Brazil, and they never thought that there was anything left of their mission, or of their ministry, I should say. But here now, these 45 years later, are 4 missionaries serving God with 1 mission, and Paul and Rita led them to faith in Christ. Rita Good, for some 15 years, was on a hospital bed. She, as a matter of fact, on that hospital bed, went into the depths of great despair and didn't want to know anything of the Bible or of God anymore for some time. But thank God she got back through to God again, and God blessed her. And we had a great Thanksgiving service at the funeral of Rita Maynard. But when I looked back at that day, I thought of the words in Revelation chapter 14. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, for their works shall follow them. Rita Good went to be with Christ, and she didn't know that the seedlings of the gospel that she left behind, planted in young and tender hearts, would bring a bountiful harvest through servants of God who are serving him all these years later. I went to preach in another church, the church of the first man, Abraham, and there I was introduced to 10 of his family, all of them believers, because Paul and Rita led a little boy to faith in Christ. I say that to you this evening because for you who work with children and young people, you will never know the full fruits of your ministry until the day declare it. That was a big blessing to me during this year. The other blessing to me was to be in Portugal. We were in Portugal for the anniversary of the International Church, Evangelical Church, down there in the Algarve. We had a great meeting and a lot of people packed into that church as we had celebrations looking back over 30 years. But in the middle of that week, Audrey and I traveled up to a place called Santo André. Santo André is in an area of Portugal known as Alentejo. It is hard and resistant to the gospel. Our worker there is a man called Aroldo and his wife Emanuela. He is Brazilian and she is French. They've been working in that town for about 25 years now, and it's difficult. As a matter of fact, on Sunday morning, they would get together around 30 to 40 people. And in Portugal, that's a large congregation. It is the only evangelical church in their town. Where they meet is at the bottom story of a block of apartments. And it's quite inconspicuous, to say the least. It's on the outskirts of the town, and you wouldn't know that a church would gather in such a inconspicuous sort of building. However, 2 years ago, Aroldo was looking at the center of the town and praying that God would expand the work. And there he saw a warehouse, a furniture warehouse, that was built to look like a church. I mean, it had a front like a church, and it was ideal right there in the center of town. And Arnoldo prayed in his heart, "Lord, give us, not this mountain, but give us this building, Lord." When he approached the mission, he said, "It will only cost £100,000. And we sort of smiled at Arnoldo's faith, not wanting to discourage him. But he said, "I believe that God will supply the need." When Audrey and I were there now at the end of October, the beginning of September, beginning of November, we were there when the last £1,000 was brought in of that £100,000. We were there when the owner of the building signed the building over to Arnoldo. And thank God now that building is in the hands of Arnoldo. And God willing, on the 7th of May, we will be back out in Portugal to preach at the opening of the new building for the Evangelical Church in the town of Santo André. It reminds me, both of these blessings, that our God is a great God. Great in his loving kindness and great in his faithfulness. And my friend, we sometimes sing the hymn, "His love in times past forbids me to think. He'll leave us at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer we have in review confirms the sweet promise. He'll help us quite through." And so as we look back and count the blessings of our God, we do it not only with gratitude, but we do it with confidence, because the God who brought us thus far is a God who will lead us home. I've asked you to recount your blessings in your heart. You do not have to vocalize them here this evening. But it's a good thing to lift up your heart and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." This morning we were speaking of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. He was not only a little man, but a little man with a big heart, a great heart. A great heart filled with passion. Passion for souls and passion for Jesus Christ. A passion for the scriptures and a passion for the church of Jesus Christ. He was not only a great man with a great heart, but he was always a very grateful man. You will find it on four occasions, in the book of the Acts. He openly gives us testimony filled with joy for what the Lord Jesus had done for him. He reminds me of Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith, the English gypsy who was converted through the preaching of D.L. Moody. Gypsy Smith, after 60 years, was still going bright for God. And someone said to him one day, "What keeps you so bright? What keeps you so positive?" "Oh," he said, "I've never got over the joy, the wonder of what Jesus Christ did for me." My friend, can I say, that is the greatest wonder of it all. Not only that the Son of God should come, as we've been singing about him this evening, but what Jesus Christ did for us individually, why our hearts are overflowing with joy. Such was the Apostle Paul, because in our scriptures this evening, that's exactly what he was saying. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I," says Paul, "who was before a blasphemer, I was injurious to the church of Jesus Christ, even though I did it ignorantly and unbelief." His heart was overflowing with gratitude. Let me just enumerate some of the things Paul was grateful for. First of all, he said, "Thank God for the ministry." God had entrusted him with a ministry, that is, committed to him a ministry. When the Apostle Paul was converted, the Bible tells us that a colleague in the city of Damascus, a man by the name of Ananias, he was commissioned to go and lay his hands upon Paul and say to Paul, "You are a chosen vessel unto God. You will bear his name not only to the house of Israel, but also to kings and to Gentiles. And you will suffer many things for my name." The Apostle Paul, my friend, he embraced that commission and lived out the rest of his life serving his Lord. Now, that ministry that he had received was a very demanding ministry. He was constantly on the stretch. He himself said that the burden of the churches were constantly upon his heart. To the Corinthians he wrote and said that the pressures that were upon him were such that he even despaired of life itself. But, he said, we are confident in God, you also helping together by prayer unto God for us, the demands of that ministry. Yet he was grateful for it. He could think of the dangers of that ministry. The Bible tells us of the persecution of the Apostle Paul. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us how that he was beaten with rods, he was stoned, he was left as dead, he was stripped naked, he knew what it was to be hungry. He three times was left shipwrecked. He was in danger of drowning. He himself was imprisoned. My friend, he enumerates all of these and then he says, God is my witness and he knows that I do not lie. Think of all the dangers that he confronted, and yet he was grateful for the ministry in spite of its demands, in spite of its dangers, in spite of its disappointments. Did you know that the Apostle Paul had disappointments? Why, the Bible tells us that there were certain who did once walk with Paul and they forsook him. His heart was heavy because of them. The Bible tells us of Alexander the coppersmith who was out to do him much harm. Can I say that in every ministry there are disappointments? It happens today. It happened then. It happened to the Apostle Paul. But in spite of those demands, in spite of those dangers, in spite of those disappointments, here is a man who was delighting in the ministry that God had given to him. I say that this evening, my friend, because while we are considering the Apostle Paul, did it ever strike you that God has given you a ministry? I'm not only speaking here to elders and deacons, but I'm speaking to every Christian. God has given to us talents. For example, the time God has given to us, how we use our time for him. We think of the gifts God has given to us, the possessions God has given to us. He has entrusted them to us. And said the Apostle Paul, God not only entrusted them to me, but what God entrusted to me, he enabled me to do. And the Apostle Paul, as we said this morning, is a man who traversed the then known world. Listen, most times on foot. I don't know if you saw the program this week looking at the life of the Apostle Paul. And it is reckoned that over Asia Minor and Europe, on foot he walked 10,000 miles. Why? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about the ministry God has given to you? Can you come tonight and look back and say, thank God for what God has enabled us to do. Thank God for what he has entrusted us to do. He was thanking God for the ministry that was given to him. Can I say in second place, he was not only grateful for the ministry that was given to him, he was grateful for the miracle that happened in him. That ministry would never have taken place if it hadn't been for the miracle. What was that miracle? Why, the Apostle Paul, he himself could not get over it. He says this ministry, I who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious to the church of Jesus Christ, but I obtained mercy. My friend, can I say that the Apostle Paul was a miracle of the mercy of God? Ananias, the man whom I spoke of, he lived in Damascus. He was one of those whom Paul had come to persecute. As a matter of fact, Ananias said of the Apostle Paul, this man hath done much evil. Think of that. Paul's hands were stained with blood. Paul's tongue was used in blasphemy against the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, my friend, he was quick in his feet. The Bible tells us that he was breathing out threatenings against the church, almost like a war horse on a rampage to destroy the church of Christ and to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ. That was the Apostle Paul. But he said, thank God for the miracle that changed me. You know something? The Apostle Paul was a miracle of mercy. That is, mercy is something that speaks of undeserving. The Apostle Paul did not deserve it. He was the first to admit it. My friend, can I say that every conversion is a miracle of God's mercy? There is none of us who merit a miracle. There is none of us who deserve the grace of God. There is not one of us here this evening that deserve that God should love me. My friend, can I say that our just deserts, the Bible reminds us that the wages of our sin is death. The Bible says that soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin invites the judgment of God. And yet, my friend, the miracle of God's mercy is this, that in spite of our sin, God loves us. God loves us. And not only loves us, he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And when I look at the Apostle Paul and I consider that he by his own lips says that he was not only an evildoer, he was the very chief of sinners. And yet God gave his spotless, sinless Son of God to die in the place of an evildoer. My friend, that is a miracle of mercy. And not only that God should do it for Paul, but that God should do it for me. That God should do it for you. He was a miracle of mercy, but he speaks here in this miracle, he speaks of grace. Grace means that God not only gives us what we does not give us what we do deserve, that is judgment, but in grace God gives to us what we don't deserve. My friend, in extending mercy, he spared us judgment. In extending grace, he has showered us with all the riches of heaven upon us. He has blessed us everyone. And that is why, as Christians this evening, thank God we are a forgiven people, bound for heaven, a living hope within our heart. He speaks here of faith and of love. Can I say that these are all elements involved in conversion? Do I speak to someone here this evening and you're not a Christian? And maybe you're thinking in your heart, well, I think of these Christians, it would take a miracle to make me a Christian. My friend, can I say you would be absolutely true. But that miracle is available for you this evening. The Apostle Paul was thankful for the ministry committed to him, entrusted to him. He was thankful for the miracle that happened in him. It transformed and changed his life forever. I'm looking back this next year. I'll be completing 60 years as a Christian. I can't believe it. My friend, it has been so long that I can hardly imagine what life was like without Jesus Christ. But isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh yes, there are still disappointments and failures, like the Apostle Paul. But thank God, Jesus never changed. I used to say to people, it's like, for you people who take sugar in your tea, you put it in, but there's sometimes you forget that you've already put it in. And so you put it in again. Two spoonfuls become four spoonfuls. And when you stir it, well, you forget to stir it. But when you begin to drink it, you'll find that as you drink it, the more you drink, the sweeter it gets. Can I say that is just like God's salvation? The more we know him, the sweeter and sweeter he gets. Every day with Jesus is sweeter as the days go by. The Apostle Paul was not only grateful for the ministry committed to him and the miracle that happened to him, but he was grateful for the message that was on his lips. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Martin Luther said that if we can condense all of the Bible into one simple phrase, this would be the phrase, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you know that this little text, the heart of this text, is a text that ushered in the Great Reformation in England? Blindly of Cambridge, he is a man who was opposed to the Reformation. But as he read this verse, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he said, Kay, what a, I'm going to speak Portuguese now. He said, what a marvel that this should happen to me, that Christ should do this for me. And he embraced the gospel of Christ. When he embraced the gospel, he met with a group of other theologians and they discussed the great truths of the gospel, and that was ushering in the Reformation to England, he himself was burned to the stake. But he led another man to the Lord, who is one of the fathers of the English Reformation, a man by the name of Hugh Latimer. And so the legacy of that man lives on, all because of this little verse. The Apostle Paul preached this message. Someone has said that Paul lived for God, grace, and the gospel, and this is the heart of the gospel. Do you know something? Surrounding that verse, Paul said three things about the message. First of all, I needed this message. I needed the message that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Why? Because he said, I am the chief of sinners. Remember what we said, by his own admission, he was confessing. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious. He is the one who kicked against Christ. The chief of sinners. My friend, can I say tonight that we identify with Paul, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, it doesn't, if this is the standard of perfection and holiness, and some of us in our lives, some may get higher than others, but never does anyone reach the standard. Why? Because all have come short of the glory of God. It is like, my friend, the arrow hitting the bull's eye. We all miss the mark. That's exactly how it is with Jesus Christ. You may get near and you may be better than someone else, but in the sight of holy God of heaven, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know something? I'm a Christian tonight because I needed it. Not only did the Apostle Paul say he needed it, he says, I've proved it. He says these words, this is a faithful saying. That is, it's a trustworthy saying. Why? Because Paul said, I proved it. The Apostle Paul was looking back to that day on the Damascus Road when a light shone around him and he heard a voice speaking unto him in the Hebrew tongue. In his own language, he heard the voice of God. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And said the Apostle Paul, as I bent before Christ, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Oh, I've proved Christ in my life, said the Apostle Paul. My friend, thank God tonight, if you're a Christian, this is something you can say. I not only needed it, but I've proved it. We were singing tonight, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The Apostle Paul not only said this message, I needed it. Not only have I proved it, but I recommend it. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. My friend, if you're not a Christian in this meeting this evening, the invitation is here that you also come to Christ. You need him. We recommend him this evening. And if only you could take that step. Can I say this? Every minute out of Christ is a wasted minute. Every day without him, every week without him, every year without Christ is a wasted year. Waste no more time. Flee to the arms of Jesus. Oh, the Apostle Paul is brimming over with gratitude. He's singing, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, he's in a prison. I thank him for the ministry he's entrusted to me. I thank him for the miracle that he has performed in me. I thank him for the message, a message I needed. I've proved. Now I recommend. Finally, he is grateful for the melody of the gospel when he says these words, now unto the King. Incidentally, can I say, that is the secret of his gratitude. He realized that Christ was the King of his life. Even down there in the prison cell, dank and damp and dark, yet, my friend, he could see not only that Jesus is King, but Jesus is on the throne. My friend, can I say that is the melody of our hearts this evening? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you see the Apostle Paul down there in that dark prison, just bubbling over with joy as he looked back for what God has done for him? My friend, as you look back over 2015, I wonder, could you have joy in your heart tonight? Can you thank God for the ministry that God has given to you? The miracle that God has effected in you. The message that God has given to us to proclaim. So much so that we join in the melody of song and we worship our King eternal.